Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
Time to bring in now the outstanding Nate Bauer. Sir, always a pleasure. Welcome.
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on the show, and thanks for jumping in when you did today. That's fabulous. How entertaining was it as you were going through the comments section on Saturday?
You know, we had a few run-ins, I would say. Everybody kind of has their position dug in at this point. But look, I think that there's a certain element of this of just maybe how you perceive the world, right? Like just what your vantage point is on things, and it isn't to say that one thing is right or more right, you know, than the other. Like, you could come out of that game as a Penn State fan and be despondent, even in a win. I get it. I'm not discounting that at all. There were lots of things to gripe about and feel as though they weren't up to the standard that Penn State wanted, and certainly Penn State after the game, right, to a man, James Franklin, the players themselves, all said that, right, more or less. But there's another side of things that you could look at that game and say, hey, they've lost that game before under James Franklin, right? Like that is a game that Penn State has. It is black and white, right? Like this is a game that coming off of the first loss of the season, Penn State has lost a second game within 1 week or 2 weeks, 8 of 9 years. Yeah. Of all the stuff that people talk about with him, excuse me, it's the most legitimate criticism is that his teams have a very, very hard time recovering, but instead of actually losing it, they won the game this week.
I'll get to that in a moment. There's something that I said at the end of the pregame show when we were outside taking questions and comments from fans, and I said the one thing I appreciate overall, and I'm sure you see this on a daily basis in what you do, is that you want a passionate, engaged fan base. You don't want an apathetic one. And yes, and while you get bombarded with stuff during the game, or you get not bombarded, but get asked a lot of questions in a pregame after a loss, especially, or you know, the standard's the standard, and did you meet the standard? I appreciate the fact that the fans are so passionate about it, because an apathetic fan base, you're in trouble.
Totally, there's no doubt about that point. It is good. Like, this is funny because after the Ohio State game, right, my entire week was spent just talking about things, right? And one of the things that's interesting to me, talking about what I feel like I do well specifically, is I'm not in defense of James Franklin or his record or anything else. That's not my role. That's not what I do. That's not what my obligation is. My defense is of reality and the truth, right? And so for as many 1-12 against top five teams as is out there, right? These graphics that you see, the people that talk about this abysmal record against top five. Well, there's context that's needed to things like that, right? Ryan Day being 2-6 against top five teams seems relevant. Jim Harbaugh, 2-7, right? Right? Like there are comps out there to say, look, there are other things that happen outside of the sphere of Penn State football that, while it's easy, it's like fast food. Yeah, I'm upset as a Penn State fan because of this loss. Absolutely, that's warranted. You get why fans feel that way, but it's just important to look at this with clear eyes and to say, okay, this is how you feel. These are the numbers that you're looking at. These are the storylines and the narratives that you're looking at. But also, hang on a second, some of this isn't exactly what meets the eye, and it's important to talk about it in those you know, that context.
Yeah, your job is to work for On3.com and deliver perspective. You're not working for Penn State. You're just reporting on what you're saying.
Correct. And look, it's so funny to me because I don't think, and certainly this isn't my position, I don't think anybody within Penn State, even James Franklin himself, would argue that they're happy with the last 10 years in terms of getting over the hump. Would most people going into his tenure have been happy with the number of New Year's Six bowls, a Big Ten championship? If you could say that 10 years ago, given the situation that the program was in, most people overwhelmingly would have been happy with that. But that doesn't mean that they can be or should be happy now. People, people want more. You get it. That, like you said at the beginning, if your fan base doesn't want that and isn't like yearning for that, you're never going to get there. So that's an important piece and component of it. But also, there just has to be some perspective about the success and what it means to have been able to do as much as has been done to this point in his tenure.
In talking with James and the players after the game, and then by your own observation, you brought up an interesting point. The standard is the standard. Where did they feel, and then in your observation, where did you feel where it was not the they won, but wasn't the standard?
That's here's where things get interesting for me, because it's I think that James said it, and a few players said it, but not enough fans are saying it, or even media are saying it. Indiana played a great game.
Yes, they did.
That quarterback had a great game. His receivers made great plays for him. Like, that was – they just played well. So can you argue and look at the blown coverage and say, yeah, defensively that shouldn't happen? Absolutely. That's fine. There are plenty of those things. Certainly offensively, they again struggled to really find what I would call consistency from drive to drive, right? They had very successful possessions, right? They had the same kind of drawn out 10, 11, 12 play type touchdown drives, but they were sandwiched around three and outs, right? And stuff where things just were not clicking the way that you would expect against a team of Indiana's caliber. It's just that I think that that's a little bit shorting the reality of what Indiana is, which is fairly good defensively, has been fairly good defensively for years, and is again this year fairly good defensively, up against Penn State's weakness, which we know is their offense. And then, you know, Manny Diaz's defense just didn't have a great day. But also, and importantly, those last 5 minutes to me feel defining in a lot of ways. Right? When they have not been tested, this team has not been tested in that manner for most of the season. They really have not had many of those experiences. You can point to Ohio State, but Ohio State was very one-sided. I mean, I think that we can all acknowledge that. This game, being back and forth, you're in the heart of it, and when you needed to make plays, you got them on both sides of the ball. And for me, especially like when looking at this from 50,000 feet, that was especially important coming off of the dynamic of that Ohio State game, right? Because you had a team in a locker room that was in some way split by how that game played out, right? Defense feeling resentful over the fact that the offense couldn't kind of get it together. Well, guess what? Tables were turned in this one, where the defense let things happen and the offense needed to come around and put up a play. I mean, really worked seesaw, right? Defense getting the stop after Drew Aller's interception. Aller and Keandre, and obviously Katron Allen's role in getting that touchdown off of that. And then deny, right? Making kind of that that game sealing play to end it.
I opened up the show, and then I want your perspective on this, about this was one of those where you sit back and in the end, let's talk about how they won, right? Okay, we all know how they got to the point where they needed to do some things to win. That's been talked about a lot, but how did they win? And to me, this had a lot to do with winning situational football. They get a takeaway and points at the end of the half. They then start the second half, fifth time this season in eight games. They get a drive, get a touchdown out of the locker room. Okay, so they win the middle eight, 17-0. They needed on quick change to keep the damage to a minimum. They give up just a field goal. They then get the plays to Allen to get the two-minute drive going, hit the big play. Deny gets the fumble recovery, or gets the strip. It leads to the safety. Oh, and by the way, then they get the onside kick. Oh, and then, by the way, they get a first down, and they end it on their terms. All those situations they worked on and work on all the time, they won all those, and they won them when they needed them. That's how I looked at it in terms of how they won, because we know about pretty much how they got to the point where they needed to do it. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, no, I'm in complete agreement. And the thing that I'm looking at and debating myself in terms of how hard to hammer it is Mike Yurcich, right? For as much flack as he has taken last week, and in some cases deservedly so, to call that shot, I mean, what kind of tendency breaker is that, right? To call that shot and to have that play executed in that moment, I don't feel like anybody's really talking about that, but it feels to me like a very important component to look at and remember in how that game played out, right? There was more than enough time for them to go 10 yards at a pop down the field there in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
But they didn't, right? They gave it a shot. They took that chance, and not just a chance, but something that very clearly was something that felt to me changed about this week, right? There was more usage of the middle of the field in the passing game. There was more patience, I feel like, on Drew Allen's part to not just look down the field, but not check down quite as quickly as I feel like he has in past weeks, right? It's a balance. It's always a balance there. But it just felt like there were some strides, as hard as it might have been to see at some times, it felt like there were some strides there made offensively in this game for that team.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, Indiana will do a few things where, you know, we always hear about cover two, cover three, so forth. There are times where Indiana played cover six in the game. And for the most part, Drew didn't take the bait on it. But when they got the touchdown play, they went man. And as soon as they saw it, they went for it. And I thought that was a key read by everybody, by Mike, by Drew, by Keandre Lambert-Smith. The three of them read it right.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. And it ended up being something that it's just a question for me right now of, is this the type of performance that can propel them into next week? To me, it's fairly clear. I would say yes, but you just have to see, right? How much of that game, if it's 85% of the game, right, until those final 5 minutes of, you know, kind of middling, right? You don't come away feeling great about the performance otherwise for those 55 minutes. If you can take those last 5 minutes and turn it into something good and feel positive about it and have some momentum. I mean, that's just something that, I don't know, feels to me has been lacking at a lot of points this season. Even when they've blown teams out, they haven't really looked that way, the way that they did in those last 5 minutes for the majority of the season.
Have you given any thought yet about the Maryland game and Talia Tungavaiola and company?
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly the defense is going to have to kind of get it together. I mean, I think that it's fine to have an off week. It's just a question of, right, is this a wake-up call, right? Because I think, you know, maybe you're feeling yourself a little bit after Ohio State. You feel really good about what you were able to do, and frustrated, certainly, that that the offense wasn't able to hold up its end of the bargain. But hey, guess what? Indiana just exposed you. That, you know, exposed is a strong word, but you know what I mean. It was a little bit of a step back, and so it will be important against a team in Maryland that scores points. Whether they've won or lost has kind of been beside the point. They're going to put up points. They've done it all year. So it will be important for really for both of those elements, right? The defense has to get back to the standard that it has had, and certainly there's no reason to believe that it can't. But also the offense is going to have to go into this game with a mindset of keeping up, right, or being in front of. You can't go into this game thinking that you're going to score 17 points and win. It's just not going to happen. That's not the style of game that Maryland's going to play against you. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Finally, basketball opens on Monday when they take on Delaware State. Any thoughts about what this team can be like?
That's a great question. I'm happy that you didn't ask me about Delaware State because my scout has not started on that.
Oh, well, it's okay because they've got 8 returning guys. I actually have a decent handle on them. We're all right.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna see you on Wednesday and we can talk about that then. No, I think look, ace is ace, and I think that's the point that I had. I don't know about doubts, but maybe some reservations about the climb into this level for him. That much is clear, right? He is a dude, and that was evident in the Bahamas. It was evident in the quote unquote secret scrimmage against Villanova. It was again on Friday night. Like he's that guy. I certainly will continue to be monitoring Puff Johnson. I think he really changes the type of team that they are.
Totally agree.
His situation is going to be really important. Leo O'Boyle. His situation is going to be important, right? So those two guys and seeing where they are at the beginning of the season is going to be interesting. But also, whether they're there or not, when they fire off the line here next week, you still see the elements of a team that, look, they're going to take a bunch of three-pointers. They're going to push the pace for volume shots, just in general. They want volume looks at the basket. So, you know, it will, I think, be, I don't want to say ugly, but, right? I mean, I think that you can see that there's going to be a little bit of a roller coaster element to this season. But also, the pieces are there that if they can figure out perimeter defense, I think they will be able to be a team that pushes it and plays kind of an exciting brand of basketball. We'll see.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Great analysis as always.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Nate Bauer on 3.com.